The opinions expressed here on the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast are solely those of the presenters, not the opinions of Cedarbrook Community Church or Mountain View Community Church.
Hey, this is Ray Rodriguez from Christian Cycling Del Marva, and you are listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McKay.
And we are back, Youth Ministry Sherpas, episode 70. Hey, everyone, I'm Matthew McCabe.
And I'm Steve Anderson. The Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast is here to help youth workers to keep going.
This episode is sponsored by ServeHQ. Stop using clunky and unsafe communication tools in ministry. With a new tool from ServeHQ, your email and text announcements can live alongside your team chats in one unified platform that is built just for churches, with ease and accountability at the forefront. Go to servehq.church to find out more.
That sounds like a great idea.
It's a great resource.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Good. Yeah. I've been busy.
Well, yeah. What have you been doing?
Well, I have been repainting our basement.
Oh, a little home project?
Yeah. So, you know what it's like with youth ministry life, you have to find time where you can kind of tear things up at home, but get it done kind of quickly, you know, with a couple free weekends. So I had a few weekends in a row where I didn't have any extra responsibilities. So I'm like, doggone it, I'm going to get this basement done.
Get into it.
Our basement was finished for us when we first bought this house 20 years ago. We had some people from church came in and finished our basement for us, which
was
a beautiful thing.
That's awesome.
We had, you know, three little kids, and it's a 1,200 square foot brick rancher. Like, we needed the basement. When I came in one day and found the whole neighborhood on my bed in my bedroom watching TV,
it was time to redo the basement.
I was like, we got to get a basement. So, yeah, they finished the basement, and we decorated it out, and we hung pictures on the walls and got carpet, and we've lived down there literally for the past 18 years. So it was time.
So it's lived in. It's lived
oh
in.
Oh my gosh. Raising three sons. They taped the Nerf board to the drywall.
Of course they did.
You know, the pets, various pets have performed their magic into the carpet. It smells awful. It's an embarrassment. So we're finally getting it done.
So it's time.
I'm so
getting
happy.
It done.
So I got it painted. Just finished it up on Saturday. Got a guy coming out tomorrow to give me an estimate on the carpet. And I am excited because we're going to have, it's like getting a new house.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what do you do? So you said you'd hung all these pictures.
Yeah.
What kind of pictures were they? Were they pictures of like sunsets and frogs?
They were pictures of our kids. Dozens of pictures of our kids from toddler, you know, when they were little. Sports pictures, their little league teams and stuff like that. And they have been on our walls all these years.
So what do you do with those pictures?
I put them in a box and I'm going to put them in the attic. And we are going to get new pictures. We are going to move on. We are going to redecorate in post-kid raising stage of life like adults. We're going to decorate our room like adults.
Wow, that just sounds crazy to me. What does that even look like?
I know, which is kind of what we're going to go with today for our episode topic. We're going to talk a little bit about what it's like to be a youth worker. And it's hard for us to get back there in our minds, but what it was like to be a youth worker raising a young family.
Yeah, I've got to rewind the tape a little bit, but I have some memories,
We'll get there.
But before we jump into that, it's time for
Sherpas.
Say what?
All right. So, do you like samurai movies?
Samurai movies? No.
Okay.
But, you know,
would you like to be in a samurai movie?
Yes, I would like to be in a samurai movie.
So would this guy from Kansas.
Okay. Where are you going with
this? Here's this story. It says a Kansas man has asked an Iowa judge to let him engage in a sword fight with his ex-wife and her attorney so he can, quote, rend their souls from their bodies.
Okay. What is even happening here?
David Ostrom, 40, of Paola, Kansas, said in a January 3rd court filing that his former wife, Bridget, and her attorney, Matthew Hudson, had, quote, destroyed him legally. The Ostroms have been embroiled in disputes over custody and visitation issues and property tax payments. The judge had the power to let the parties, quote, resolve our disputes on the field of battle legally.
Oh my goodness, this sounds like it could go really, really poorly.
This is like Hamilton and Burr.
I guess.
With swords. So Ostrom said in his filing that trial by combat has never been explicitly banned or restricted as a right in the United States. So he asked the judge for 12 weeks' time so he could secure Japanese samurai swords.
Oh, my. Trial by combat? Are you?
He said he was just trying to show the absurdity of the situation. And so far, the judge has not... has not allowed this to take place.
I hope the judge has enough sense to not allow samurai swords to be used to settle a domestic dispute. That doesn't feel like a good plan on any level.
It does not. But, you know, let it all play out on the field of battle.
On the field of battle. Oh, my gosh, that's crazy.
Oh, boy. So, anyway.
So, raising a young family and being a youth worker.
Yes.
Kind of sounds like samurai sword stuff right there.
Keep swords away from your young children.
Yes, for sure. So can you remember back? So, Steve, you got to rewind the tape here. Can you remember back? How old were your kids when you started here at Mountain View, say, was it 20 years ago, right?
Yeah, it was 2000. Let's see. Jonathan was 8, Tim was 6, and Tom was 2.
Wow.
Yeah. Thomas was still in diapers. I can't believe he's a senior in college. Yeah, he was in diapers.
Wow. And all of my children were born whilst I was in student ministry.
Yeah.
Coming here to Maryland, starting at the church I've been at now for the last 16 years, they were 2, 4, 5, and 7.
So basically, we had a parallel experience as far as our time in Maryland.
Our time
goes.
In Maryland, absolutely.
Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy.
So when I first met you, your kids were that young.
Yes, when we first met, my kids were probably, I think Ileana, who we interviewed here a couple of weeks ago, was probably 5 or maybe 5.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Time has gone by so fast.
Time does march by pretty quick, but I do remember this, if I'm rewinding the tape to being a youth worker with a young family. Time moved so slow. I used to hate, I get it now because I'm on the other side. I get it when people would say, but cherish these days because they'll go fast. And I would just get, I would get angry when people would say that because I'm like, you're only saying that because you don't have a 3-year-old at home anymore. No, my days are long. They're long. They are not going fast.
Oh, my gosh. You're right, man. Now, bath time. Oh, I swear, bath time was like, it was like a trip to the moon.
It was like trial by combat. It was trial by combat.
Yeah, it was rough. It was rough.
But, so, I get what, again, I'm on the other side now. I get it. Days are long, years are fast.
Yeah.
Say it correctly. Don't say that it's going to go quickly because some of those days are going to go really slow.
But now here I am putting away pictures.
In boxes. And putting them in the attic.
Replacing them with the decor befitting of an adult.
Which I still don't understand what that is. When you get done, just take a picture and send it my way so I know what it means.
So this idea of the time when we were raising our families, and we had young kids, and we were in youth ministry, it was such a different season than today.
Yeah, completely different.
And the challenges and the blessings of that were so different than what we're experiencing today. So we want to talk about it, and maybe you're in that stage now. Maybe as wise old sage carrying our samurai swords, we can give you a little idea of
what it could be like. So when you think about sort of that, you know, blessings and curses, because almost every stage has its blessings and curses. When you think about having that young family in youth ministry, what were some of the benefits? Let's start on the positive side. What were some of the benefits to you being a youth worker and having a young family?
Mm-hmm. There was a great benefit to the integrated lifestyle that youth ministry provides. Because your schedule is different than everybody else. You know, it's not 9 to 5. It's all
over
wacky
the place.
And weird. Yeah. And so you have the flexibility and to some extent the control over your schedule to be able to, you know, kind of manage your family around it. And I think that was a really cool thing. I think the amount of adventure that my kids kind of got to experience, both growing up in the youth ministry, but also just having kind of that lifestyle, is different than a lot of other careers that I could have chosen. Just being around the church, being around kids all the time, activities, fun, laughter, you know, experiences like that, I think are a real blessing for a youth pastor's family.
Oh, absolutely. The flexibility of schedule was something that I remember.
Oh, yeah.
I remember being able to just go and have lunch at school, elementary school, with my kids on their mm-hmm. birthday because, well, I just could. Mm-hmm. Or because you just have that flexibility. And then as they started to grow, you know, you start getting into the activity stage. So they start playing soccer or baseball or swim
right.
or do whatever they want. You're in charge
right.
of the youth schedule. Ministry
yeah,
calendar.
That's right.
And so you have, now there are times that you can't, but there are times that you can actually say, oh, you know, we're not going to do that event on that Friday night because my kid has a dance recital. We're going to do it the next Friday night when
right.
he does not have, or she does not have a dance recital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's kind of a beautiful thing.
I think another blessing is that the students in your youth ministry get to see you as parent and spouse. And that's a really cool thing. You get to model for them what a healthy family can look like, what a healthy marriage can look like, the joy that you take in your kids. You know, a lot of our students don't necessarily have that experience at home with their families. And so when they see us, you know, loving our kids well and taking delight in them and enjoying them, I think that gives them a really good picture of what a healthy family can be.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And there's a really cool, I know that we experienced it over the years. There's just a really cool integration. You talked about
yeah.
integration of your ministry life and your family life. Like my youth groups were highly invested
mm.
in our family. Even as we were having kids, like I remember when my oldest was born, he was born on a Wednesday night. He was born on a...
He was born at youth group.
Well, he could have been. He could have been because we had a Wednesday night middle school
group. Hey guys, gather around. Gina's about to give birth.
Exactly. Yeah, that may not have been a good plan.
Right in the middle of your three-part series on sex.
Exactly. So yeah, so we had a middle school group that met on Sunday nights.
Okay.
And of course, it had a few high school students that volunteered in that
right.
in that ministry, and of course she went into labor on a Wednesday, so I had to get a hold of all the leaders to say, like, hey, you guys are on your own tonight, just here's the plan, run with it, I'm gonna be tied up, you know, this evening. And then there was a, like, when he was born and we got all settled in, there was time to call because they were still at youth group and we
Aww.
Wanted to call and let them know and to hear the roar
Aww.
That came up from a group of middle school kids who were invested in a child in my family being born. There was just something
really—that's really cool.
Really cool about that. So that integration. Our second child.
You should have FaceTimed them.
We should have. Well, wait, no. I think
I
had a flip
Maybe.
Phone at the okay. time, and I don't think FaceTime existed at the time. But my
Would
second.
You guys like to see a live birth?
Exactly. Our second child was actually named by the youth group.
Really?
Yeah, that's how, like, invested.
Not named after a youth group. You don't. Your daughter's not named Fusion.
No, it's not.
Or
no,
Fire.
Or Fire, or Elevation, or Clear. No. We had a name picked out.
I could come up with so many names for your daughter.
I know you could. I know. No, we had a name picked out. And then our high school group took a missions trip to El Salvador. And the pastor, who was our host and our leader there, had two young girls that obviously did everything with us the whole two
right.
weeks that we were down there. And one of them was named Nicia. Mm. And our youth group just absolutely fell in love with this little girl named Nicia, who was just cute as the day is long. And when we got home, literally just started burning up my wife's ears. You have to name this girl Nicia. You have to, you just absolutely have to. And under pressure from the high school group, we named her Nicia. She's been Nicia ever since. And now I can't imagine her
wow.
as anything else. So
I'm glad her name wasn't Jezebel.
Yeah, right. There's a really cool integration,
yeah.
I think, that I don't think exists. Like you said, I don't think that exists in a lot of other jobs or or careers where there's that kind of integration between what you do for a living and your family. And that's pretty cool.
Can it go too far?
Oh, I think 100%.
Yeah. So what's it look like when it goes too far?
Well, we spend, youth workers spend a lot of our time investing in scores and scores of other people's kids.
Mm-hmm.
And those families and those kids carry a great deal of trouble, typically.
Oftentimes,
there is significant trouble happening in the family, or the student themselves is going through a significantly difficult time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really easy to carry that home with you.
Yeah.
It's really easy to bring that into your family dynamic. And there's a real sense in that it is your job, it is what you signed up for, to help carry the burdens of that family or that kid.
Yeah.
But your family didn't sign up for that.
Correct.
And may not be equipped or even desirous to carry those burdens. And so when you bring those home, you're imposing upon them. The crossover is going the other way now, and it's not as healthy, and it's not as good. So, yeah, I think there's a real danger there.
I agree with that. You know, it's probably not, psychologists would say that it's not necessarily healthy to compartmentalize your life, but I think there's a place for compartmentalizing your life as a youth worker.
Especially in regard to your family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're right. You carry these burdens. Sometimes the conversation you just had, you know, that night before you left the church to come home was really heavy.
Absolutely.
And dark and troubling. And then you get home and, you know, maybe your kids are 4 and 6 and 8 and they're running around, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy's home," you know, or, "Mommy, I'm so glad to see you." And then you got this thing on your mind. It's like walking in with this giant stone on your shoulders.
Yeah.
And that's not healthy, because you're not going to be able to really love your kids and engage in their lives. They don't need to know that.
Right.
Right.
They can't carry that. They don't have what it takes to carry that.
No, but this is really tricky. I mean, this is true for any kind of pastoral position, I guess. But, you know, as a youth pastor, you're going home to your family thinking about the troubles that you're carrying with you. And I think that's something that we need to be intentional about avoiding.
Yes.
And so I just have this picture. Can I share this word picture with you?
Let's go.
Thought bubble with you. Of treating youth group kind of like a thumb drive. And so you have these conversations, and maybe it's been a hard day or a hard night at youth group, and there's something going on, and you're going home. You don't need to take that into the house. You can't forget about it.
Right. It's there. It's real.
You can't ignore it, but you can set it aside. And so I have this mental picture of putting it on a thumb drive and sticking it in your computer bag. You know it's there. You'll open it up when you have time. You'll come back to it. It's saved, but it's not active. It's not open. The file's not open when you walk in the door. That way, just mentally compartmentalize it. You can walk in the house. You can kiss your kids. You can play chutes and ladders on the floor. You can run around and play hide and seek. You can kiss your wife or your husband, and you're engaged. You're leaving that behind when you come home.
Yeah.
That just is a way to kind of think through.
That's a great mental picture, a great way to think. I've heard it about, like, hanging a briefcase on the tree, you know, in the front yard, and then walking in the door. Like, I'm leaving that stuff out here. I pick it up on my way out the door next morning.
And your kids are looking out the window. They're like, "Daddy,
why is there a briefcase in the tree?" Exactly.
Usually it's toilet paper in the trees outside your house if you're a youth worker.
Yeah. You know, another thing related with that, when I think about not just young families, but just having a family as you're navigating the world of youth ministry, is how much do you tell your spouse?
Mm.
You know, it's pretty easy to draw that line. Hey, look, my kids are 4, 6, and 8, and they're all about Paw Patrol. They're not about Brian's family who's getting a divorce. Like, they don't want anything to do with that. But you're walking this journey with your wife.
Yeah.
And so there's some sense where there needs to be some sharing of what's troubling your heart and what's heavy on your heart and what's hard. But I think there can be an oversharing there too.
Yeah.
So, like, what do you think about how you deal with, you know, what does your spouse get to know about the troubles you've downloaded onto that thumb drive.
Nobody knows. That's a tricky thing. I think it depends on a lot of circumstances. I think it depends on the temperament of your significant other, how much they're able to maybe compartmentalize it themselves. But I would say this. I think there's discretion. They don't need to know everything. It's not that you're keeping secrets. It's that you're not placing undue burden on. They don't need to carry that burden. Now, there are times when they need to help you carry the burden.
Right.
It's too heavy.
Right.
You've got to talk to them. So I would say use discernment in what you share. But then I also think it's important when you share it. I think to just every Sunday night or Wednesday night come home and unload the whole package.
Just download the whole package into their thumb drive. Yeah.
I don't think that's necessarily the best way. But maybe, you know, you have a pattern in your family of you have breakfast together every Saturday morning and that's part of that conversation. Hey, here's something I've been wanting to tell you about. You know? And just kind of keep it. So then there's some mental preparation, you know. There's some hearty, mental gymnastics that take place.
Right, to get ready prepared for that conversation.
Yeah,
sure.
So that's my first thought off the top of my head.
Yeah, and I don't think there is a cookie cutter answer to this. This is what you share and this is what you don't. There has to be a lot of just evaluation of, you know, is my spouse invested in this family as well? Depending on at what level your spouse is involved in the ministry, they might be very, very involved in that student's life or that student's family life. And so if something's going on in that family, they actually need to know. And if you don't tell them, then you're going down a real dangerous road of like, wait, you knew this and didn't, you know, I've been in that situation before.
Have you?
Yeah, exactly. Where I really should have shared that. And I chose not to because I was trying to compartmentalize it and push
it aside. She found out somewhere else.
And then found out some other way. And because of her involvement in that person in that family's life, that wasn't a good situation. So you gotta take a lot of those things into consideration. But there are often times where if there's not an investment and I'm just carrying, you know, the ugliness of some relationship or situation or person, I don't need my spouse to carry that too. Like I'll carry that. That's my job.
And it's interesting to hear you say that because I know Gina, and she's a great, stable, wise, mature woman, and she could handle anything you bring home.
100%.
And Karen's the same way. But at the same time, I just don't want to drop all of that on her.
Right.
I just don't think it's necessary.
Yeah. So there's no. I don't think there's an equation here.
Okay.
I think it's just you have to have a conversation. Is this burden too heavy for you to carry alone? And do you need your spouse's support in carrying that? Well, then you probably need to talk about it. Is this undue weight for my spouse to carry? If the answer is yes, then maybe you need to kind of step back from that.
How involved did you let your kids be in the ministry?
Yeah, what a great question.
And the way you phrased it earlier was, and how involved did you let the ministry be in your kids?
Yeah.
That's a really interesting thought.
Oh, that, those are two very different questions.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's one of the big picture. I think allowing younger kids to have access to the youth ministry is such a cool thing. And I think about... I took my son Isaac when he was 7 years old. I took him on a middle school missions trip to Chicago.
Okay.
10-11 hour drive, a week of service with, you know, 30 middle school kids. He had this look from day one as if he had just won the lottery. He was just loving every minute of it. And I believe that part of that was I get to have this really cool experience with my dad.
Sure.
But most of it was I'm with the older kids. He's looking up. He's looking toward that time.
Yeah.
And now he gets this like 1 week free pass to just be a part of it.
Special perk of being a youth pastor's kid.
Special perk of being a youth pastor's kid. And it was a really cool experience. Yeah. So I think that was really cool.
We did that one time. We had this thing that we would go to every other year, and it was ages, grade 7 and up. And my wife was working as a volunteer that year, and so she wanted to go, and our two older boys could go, but Thomas wasn't old enough yet. So I made the exception, and I wouldn't do that often, but I made the exception that time so the whole family could go, and so he got to go earlier than all the other kids in the church.
Right.
So what?
Yeah.
You know? So what? It was great for him. It was great for our family. I would do it again.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's, and I also think it's cool for the ministry.
Yeah.
I think about all
the kids get to see us as parents.
They get to see us as parents,
it's a valuable
and they get
thing.
To they get to you know, see, I mean, what middle school or high school kid doesn't love a little baby or a little
right.
kid crawling around. And so
yeah.
I remember when the kids were really, really little and you just kind of drag them along to everything. And then that kid would just get passed around and held by every other person in the youth group. And I think that's a benefit to the youth ministry too. Yeah, it's just really cool.
But it could maybe go too far.
I think it can.
You know, I mean, you probably want to have some separation with your family as well. There may honestly be students that you don't really want around your kids, right?
Yeah. I mean,
Is that harsh?
No, I don't think it's harsh. I think that's real. I think there are some influences that you might not want to have deeply involved in your kids' lives, and so you do have to create some boundaries. I think that's fair. It's one of those. It's so hard to draw that line, right? When we do what we do, youth ministry or even any kind of ministry, it's just so different than anything else out there that finding these, you know, we just talked about the what do you share with your spouse and what don't you? Well, that's a moving target. How involved do we allow our younger kids to be in the ministry? That's a moving target. And sometimes I think we hit it and sometimes I think we miss it. And sometimes we don't know that until after it happened.
Yeah.
This was prior to having kids. But so we had a group of students that we were invested in Wisconsin. My best friend, who spent a year as a youth leader in our group, moved to Seattle, got engaged, was getting married.
Okay.
I was the best man in the wedding, so
okay. My
wife and I were going out there. It was 2 weeks after our wedding,
okay.
So we were technically still on our honeymoon.
Uh-huh.
Five of the senior boys in our youth group who had graduated in June made their senior trip a road trip to Seattle to go to his wedding.
Really?
So my wife and I are on our honeymoon in a hotel room in Ocean Shores, Washington. And there's a knock on the door.
Oh, my gosh.
And it is five kids from my youth group.
Oh, my gosh.
Saying, we want a moped on the beach, but you have to be 25 to rent the mopeds. Will you go mopeding with us?
And your answer was?
We went mopeding on the beach with the kids. However, I will say this. After it was over, they asked if we wanted to go get pizza with them.
That was your first wife?
Right? I see that. No,
Gina is a good sport.
I will say this though. Again, with the you're trying to hit a moving target. We got back from that, and they said, "Hey, let's all go get pizza." And we said, "Actually, we're good.
Yeah,
you know, we have some other dinner plans, and we have some other plans for the evening. So,
okay.
So we're going to separate here now. So it's a moving target.
It is.
And I think if I look back on it, maybe we shouldn't have gone mopeding with the kids on the beach, but it's a tough call.
Some of it might depend on the culture of your church.
It's a great story now.
It is a great story. I think, you know, I was thinking about if your church is the kind of church that there's this heavy expectation on a pastor, the pastor's family, the pastor's wife, the pastor's husband, whatever, then maybe you need to be more intentional about building a boundary.
Right.
A healthy boundary so that your kids don't grow up under this weight of expectation that somehow they're perfect or
microscope, right,
or more spiritual than everybody else. And so maybe you need to kind of look at your church culture and say, here's what's healthy in this place for our family, and do that up front. If you have a church where, you know, maybe it's multiple staff and there's really nobody even knows necessarily who everybody is, and it's a bigger church or whatever, and it doesn't matter as much, or there's not much legalism, if any, then maybe you can be a little bit more engaged as your family.
Right.
So that's just something to think about.
Absolutely. And I think I know one thing when we talk about the involvement, like how involved do you allow your kids to be in the ministry?
Yeah.
I know that one thing that was helpful, and I think we just got this right by luck because I don't think there was it, but there was an intentionality to us as our kids grew closer to that age in which they would move into the youth ministry legitimately, right? So fourth and fifth grade, when they were kind of right on the edge, that was when we as a family decided, okay, your involvement in youth group is almost cut off.
Yeah.
Because we wanted to build that anticipation. We wanted to build that you moving into the youth ministry needs to be a big deal. And if you're just there all the time as a fifth grader, it's not going to be. And so that was really helpful for us as a family. And I think it was really helpful for our kids. It built a, you know, it's almost like you took something away that they had and then they had to kind of wait for 2 years till it was really theirs to have.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It built a really cool thing.
That's a great idea. Otherwise, they're going to be in the youth ministry for 12 years. It's going to be really old.
Right, exactly.
Same old, same old. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
So I know it's a long time ago already.
It is.
And
it's yesterday also.
And it's yesterday. And the pictures aren't in the attic yet. They're in the bins right now. They're headed towards the attic soon. Do you have any regrets? Would you do anything differently?
Wow, that's a really good question. I don't have any major regrets. Like, I don't have any, like, you know, things that just cry out at me. I think my regrets come at the times when I know I missed the mark, you know, that moving mark we're talking about what's a healthy way for my kids to be involved, but yet be separated. And I can think of multiple times when, you know, in hindsight, oh man, we missed the mark. Should not have taken my kid along on that activity because it pulled away from my responsibilities as the leader, you know, or I exposed my kid to things that maybe they weren't ready to, shouldn't have been exposed to yet. So like, a few of those moments, but no major regrets. Okay. What about you?
I have just a couple. They're actually specific instances where I wish that I had skipped youth ministry to be present for an event. There was one moment where the kids were actually older. John was in high school and I was leading middle school and high school then. So I had to be there every Wednesday and every Sunday. He was on the baseball team. He was a sophomore. He was on the varsity baseball team. He was a pitcher and he honestly hadn't even pitched like the whole season, but they were at this playoff game. It was an away game. And it got into like the seventh inning. And I had to be back for youth group because it was like 5 o'clock and it was an hour drive home. So I was like, Garen, I got to go. I got to lead youth group tonight. He's not going to play anyway. I get in the car, I drive home, and I get the call. They're putting John in to pitch. It's the eighth inning and it's tied.
And big moment.
Yes. And wouldn't you know it, he pitched for 4 innings. The game went on and he pitched this brilliant 4 innings as a sophomore. And I'm on the phone with Karen, and I'm going back for a normal, uneventful, boring Wednesday night when I could have called one of my volunteers. I should have turned around. I should have called one of my volunteers and said, hey, I don't care what happens tonight. Just make sure the kids don't kill each other. I'm going back to John's game.
Yep.
And I really wish that I'd been there for that.
Yeah.
That's a single moment. And I know we all have something like that.
Sure.
And there was another time I was on a missions trip with some college students, and I missed one of Tim's tournaments, his baseball tournament. We were supposed to be back. Flights get delayed. Kids wander off in the airport. Long story. But yeah. Oh. So a couple moments I missed. Did I wish I could get back?
Yeah.
But by and large, no, not a lot of regrets. Because my kids got this amazing youth ministry experience from the time they were little through graduation, all kinds of adventures that they never would have had if we had chosen a different life.
Yeah.
And I'm really, really thankful and grateful for all of that.
Yeah. Well, that gets into a whole other topic that we really didn't spend a whole lot of time on in this episode, and that is the idea of when do your kids win and when do somebody else's kids win?
Yeah.
And that's another moving target that's really hard to hit sometimes. You just talked about two experiences where You felt like you missed the mark just a little bit.
Yeah, and I think we could both say, I'm hopeful that we could both say we had a winning percentage.
Yes.
We didn't.
Yes.
We weren't 100%. We didn't bat 1,000, but we had a winning percentage. We figured it out along the way. We made mistakes. We have great spouses that helped us.
Helped us do that, absolutely.
Sure. But we did the best we could. So hopefully what we've said today has maybe helped you do a little bit better too.
So I hope so.
Final thoughts?
Yeah, well, I think there are a couple of things you could take away from this episode. I think finding a healthy balance of involvement in the ministry and separation from the ministry is a really big thing that you need to spend some time on if you are a youth worker with a younger family. Because
if you're living on the church grounds, you should be moving towards not living on the church grounds.
Correct.
Can I say
right.
that?
Yeah, I think you could say that. I think you that's could honest. Say that. Yeah, that's honest.
All right.
So that you're not the person opening the door for the women's tea. But to find that healthy balance. Mm-hmm. What else do you think that would be a good takeaway?
I think it's really a good idea to have somebody that you can talk to, another couple, maybe an older couple, a mentor couple, that you can be completely honest and safe with and share struggles. You might have struggles with church leadership that you can't talk to anybody about. You might be having some marriage issues that you feel like you can't share with anyone because everyone thinks you're the perfect pastor's family. You know, all those kinds of things. We all need some safe place that we can go for counsel and advice. And if you're a young couple with a young family, find that, whether it's in the church or maybe even out of the church, a place where you can go and be honest and have some help.
And have some people just pour into you and some people who have been there, you know, and done that and can give that advice.
For $100 an hour, the McCabes are available.
Absolutely. I might even do it for $75 an hour. Sure. No, but in all seriousness, we are. Like if you are a young youth worker and you're just struggling to find some of these tension points that we've talked about today, reach out to us.
Sure.
We'd love to chat with you and help you just think. We didn't do it perfectly, but again, I think we had a winning percentage. I think we figured some things out, and we'd love to pass that along. And I think one of the last things to think about is that mental download. Like, how are you downloading some of the struggles of the day or the struggles of the ministry so that you're not bringing those into your home? Mm-hmm. You're not bringing those to your children or to your spouse so that you can engage at a different level on the home front.
Get a thumb drive with at least 128 gigs on it because you're going to have a lot of stuff to download.
You're going to need the space for sure.
Thanks for listening. We want to remind you that this episode is sponsored by ServeHQ. Stop using clunky and unsafe communication tools in ministry with a new tool from ServeHQ. Your email and text announcements can live alongside your team chats in one unified platform that's built just for churches. With ease and accountability at the forefront, go to servehq.church to find out more. These guys are awesome sponsors. You definitely want to check out their products.
We will be back next week with another legend interview. Do we want to tip our hat to who we got next week?
Let's just say that he's really good at sharing his faith.
Good call.
Let's leave it there?
Let's leave it there.
Okay.
So we'll be back next week with that interview. You won't want to miss it. Until then,
Sherpas out.